from the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs. This is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
So we're back. Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs, and we are trying to get through this week. Not a whole lot going on, but, you know, it's inching closer to the draft. And as much as he's chuckling after his long journey home, Seth Kaiser of The Athletic is back with us. How are you, bud?
I'm tired, but I am here and life is good, you know?
I don't know why I put it that way. Seth's not a guest, folks. He's our co-host, so I'm not going to do that again.
No, that's absolutely fine. It feels like it's been a minute. And so, I went to Orlando with Mrs. Minnesota Chiefs fan, had a blast. Life is good. Made everyone angry with my take on parenting and who should or shouldn't have an opinion on it. So that was fun.
I'm happy I missed that.
I made a joke to a 6'10" host that I really get along with, and it just kind of like, maybe you shouldn't have an opinion if you don't have kids. And then my Twitter following divided into camps of you should be able to, or you shouldn't be able to really give an opinion on kid parenting and all this stuff. And I was just like, so I like said something that I logged off because I was in Florida. And then I log back on. I'm like, holy crap. So I sent a DM to Brandon, apologized, to say, dude, I'm so sorry. I did that to us. That's on me. But anyway, I've also started a new journey. I'm finally starting to look at some prospects. And I figured I would start with a guy who I think you like.
Who would that be?
Mr. Nasir Adderley.
Of the Blue Hen.
Is it Delaware or Maryland?
Delaware. I like that.
Delhi?
It's making me hungry. But,
you know what? I have a Minnesota accent. My account is not called Real Kansas City Chiefs Fan, you jerk. Delaware. I don't know how to say it right, okay? Man, now I'm all flustered and discombobulated. Do you like Adderley or not, Ryan?
I do. I do. I like him a lot. And I don't want to influence you. So I want to know what you're seeing, because I know what I see. And I will tell you this. When I look at The Matrix came out this week while you were gone. So like I've been going over and seeing where everybody lands. Right. And Adderley he's not at the very top. I'll tell you that. But he is well within the above average NFL player range. So physically, athletically, he's got all the tools the Chiefs need. So if you've started to look at his film now, right?
Yes, I have. And it is now here again, I'm just a few games in. Here's the problem. Whenever you're looking at safeties and corners, you know the drill. College tape, all 22 isn't widely available. And you're having to make guesses on certain things. But one thing is interesting to me is when I heard about Adderley, I was told, oh man, really, you know, decent size, really rangy guy, good speed, very, you know, prime free safety type guy, ball hawk type. And I thought, okay, great. Well, I'm a few games in, and the thing that has jumped out to me the most so far, now I've seen the range, I've seen the speed, definitely has it in spades, closes well, all that, but he is not afraid to hit.
No.
And that is very, very, very encouraging to watch. Like they didn't just use him as a deep safety. I mean, he was all over the place.
Well, so much so that I fear for his health sometimes.
Yes. You gotta know when to hold him, when to fold him. The biggest thing for me, the first game that I watched was him versus, I think it was NDSU. And that's like the only opponent that I really noticed, because the quality competition is not high. No. And NDSU just spanked them. Wow. To be fair, NDSU spanks a lot of teams, including like from what I've seen, like Division I teams, they don't want to play them anymore.
Right. Yeah. It's like, can you just go away?
Yeah. Cause like, oh no, hard pass. Cause it's a no win. And a lot of teams, even very good teams, they run a risk of taking an L against NDSU.
Yeah.
And there's no benefit. So anyway, he was not the reason though. And the thing that I noticed is that, I saw the speed, I saw the closing, and one way that I saw that was there was hardly ever a play where he wasn't involved in some way, shape, or form with the tackle. Even if it was like at the end. Did you see that?
I did, and I'll tell you the thing that I took away from, and I don't even remember the names. I watched two games, and I don't remember what they were. It was not North Dakota, so at least we've got that spread out a little bit. The thing that I noticed is he'll occasionally get taken with the quarterback's eyes. And yep. he does take a false step every now and then. But the cool thing for me is he's got the athleticism to recover from it. Because like you said, he's in on almost every play. And right. even when he goes the wrong direction on his initial take, he's able to overcome that with his acceleration and speed overall.
Right. And he looks to have, and you know, quality competition makes a few things tough to determine.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, keeping up with wide receivers, because I mean, how fast are these guys really? Is he looking fast compared to guys that are a step slower mm-hmm. and all that? But his feet look good. He looks like he's got very smooth hips, no problem backpedaling, changing direction. And like you said, he accelerates and he accelerates quickly and he looks like he's got a good top speed.
Mm-hmm.
And so he looks like a guy that I'd be very comfortable in like a center field role. But he also, like I said, I mean, that was the biggest thing that jumped out at me. Is like, man, he takes on not just ball carriers, but blockers aggressively.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, he reminds me of a slightly smaller version of Armani Watts. You know, like he's not going to mix it up with linemen, but he'll throw his hat on just about anybody else.
He, you know what? I actually have a video clip of him mixing it up with a lineman.
Well, then now, I'll shut it.
Well, it's not something he's going to do every time.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's like he took it personally and he actually got his hands inside the guy's pads and gave him a good shove before the lineman, you know, realizing that he outweighed him by 100 pounds, recovered and was able to stonewall him.
Right.
But if you can even jar that blocker, that's a win.
Yeah, it gives you a crease, you know, to make a read or let one of your teammates make up that wrap-up tackle.
Absolutely, because what they're anticipating when they've got, you know, a blocker meeting you in space like that, they're anticipating a pancake or you diving out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And so even holding up the blocker, maybe the running back runs into him, whatever. And so I like that aspect of his game just to start off with.
Yeah, I have to agree. He looks very promising. I wish I had actual numbers on his change of direction just in case that I have the sneaking suspicion that the Chiefs are going to come down and do what they have done and want to, even though it's a different coordinator, want to be multiple and have their guys kind of intermingle. And so when he does have to come down into the box, I don't think I would call him a nickel corner. There are guys in this class that can play free and nickel. I don't mm-hmm. think he's one of them, but I wonder about his ability to cover in man if he's made to do it.
Right. And I think that's a question that we should talk about, but I think we should take a break first.
Oh, good idea. Now you can get Locked On Chiefs on the brand new podcasting app, Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts and Apple Podcasts and Spotify and all the normal places. We're here for you 5 days a week, all off season long with guests, analysis, film review, athleticism, my draft guide, and all kinds of stuff from The Athletic and Chiefs Digest. Make sure you get subscribed today and you can do it over on the Himalaya podcasting app. So that was a good spot. I have a tendency to ramble. You know that. So beyond Nasir, because you started looking at his film and I've watched a couple games. I'm probably not going to watch anymore. I've seen what I need to see in my opinion. But the interesting thing is he's being basically touted from a lot of the talking heads as the top guy. And I have to agree with that right now. But I feel like it's the two and the three guy right now are Savage out of Maryland and Thornhill out of Virginia. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing about them is they're both even quicker. Better flat out speed, better change of direction, and Thornhill can jump out of the gym.
Right. And that's tough. Thornhill's another guy I want to watch. I was even thinking about writing about both of them at once. Mm-hmm. But I haven't watched much of Thornhill yet. I've just been told that he is even more so than Adderley. Like he's a free safety. He is your guy that you want patrolling the deep end of the field. Now, I don't know how he is as a tackler or in run support. Which, you know, is that as important as it used to be? No. But it sure is nice watching Adderley, you know, just sprint up and take on guys and control the edges the way he
yeah,
does.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I don't know about the run support at free safety, but the missed tackle thing is something because we've seen Ron Parker have an issue, right?
Yep.
So when you compare the three of them, and they're all in the Athletic Matrix. And folks, if you haven't seen that yet, it's at rogueapc.com, rogueapc.com. If you use the code Locked On Chiefs, you get a couple bucks off. Take a look at the draft guide. The interesting thing about when we're talking about these three guys, Adderley, Thornhill, and Savage, Thornhill has the lowest missed tackle rate. So that is something in his hat.
Right. And, you know, with safeties, it doesn't really matter. And I think maybe a lot of people would disagree with this. I don't really care if my safety is a hunter killer type where he lays guys out. Now, it's always fun to watch for sure, you know, to see a safety lay a big hit and kind of set a dominant tone, you know, Cam Chancellor, Eric Berry, Bob Sanders type stuff. However, all I really care about with a safety is, does he bring him to the ground without too much fuss? You know, I don't want a guy getting dragged for 3 or 4 yards because that can be the difference in a first down. But as long as they can tackle, I don't really care.
Well, and that's a good point. I mean, for me, that is a significant factor, but I'd put that number two. For me, I want my free safety to be a hawk. I want him to go and take the ball away from the offense. And that's the other thing about Thornhill. Of the three of them, he had the best hawk rate. 29 PBUs between PBUs and interceptions together, 9 picks on his career.
And that's really impressive. And I've heard that about him, is that because of his speed, his range is just crazy. And so that's definitely something to consider when you look at, so the Chiefs right now, obviously they've got Tyrann Mathieu. They've talked, you know, he's even tweeted or been quoted, I can't remember which it was, where he kind of talked about, you know, his fit in this defense, he feels like he's going to get to be a hunter.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is indicative of the fact that he's going to be more the strong safety underneath role.
And I agree.
To where, and now maybe he means like a hunter as in like a ball hunter, and maybe he means free safety. I have no idea. But I do think it's more like, I'm going to have the freedom to pursue the ball. And you can't necessarily do that when you're playing free safety snap after snap.
Right. And that, I tend to agree with you. And I think honestly, that's the best approach. Put somebody behind him over the top so he can do what he does, because some of that involves taking chances.
Yep.
So
you need someone that can protect him with that. And from what I've seen of Adderley, I think he's got the speed to do that. In fact, just in the NDSU game, there were 3 or 4 plays that would have been touchdowns had it not been for him. Now, NDSU still ended up scoring because, man, they're a well-coached team. Holy cow. But the idea is, you know, we always talk about this, right? That with a safety, especially a free safety, their main job is to prevent bad things from happening.
Yeah. And that's
key. And yeah. And if Thornhill can do that, then great, especially because he might be available a little bit later. Although one thing with Adderley, I know that he got a hamstring issue running his 40 at his pro day. And so it could be, and I think he's been nicked up a little bit.
Yep.
Throughout his career. I could be wrong there, but I thought that was a concern, is that because he ended the year a little hurt or just whatever it was. And so I'm curious if that affects him. And the thing about Thornhill is he might be available, like, say, in the second or third round, right? I mean, you know more about the draft than I do.
Yeah, I think he's going to be the third guy off there at the bottom of the second. I think Savage will go before him towards the top of the second. But here's the interesting thing, and let me ask you about this, because you're talking roughly the same weight, somewhere between 198 and 205 between the three of them, right? And I think it is up for grabs for the Chiefs' 29th pick if they don't trade out of that. So let me ask you this. 6'1¼, 5'10¾, or 5'10½. Do you care about any of that at the free safety position?
I don't care that much. I don't expect free safeties to get into a lot of, you know, jump ball contests. You're either in position or you're not.
Yeah.
And I think what we've seen, like say with Tyreek Hill over the last year, is that when the ball is up in the air, body control, and ball skills are way more important than height. And so with a free safety, closing speed, body control, ball skills, those are all way more important to me than height. Yeah. And that's whether it's a safety or a corner. So none of that really makes too much of a difference to me. It's just more about whether or not, you know, okay, can you tackle? All right, great. Do you have good closing speed? Because a big part of that for a safety isn't necessarily, it's almost, we want to be able to prevent the throw. You know, make the quarterback look somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And if you've got crazy range, that's something that affects opposing teams' game plans, because you're able to just basically close off that lane and turn a free catch into a contested catch. And that's often enough to cause an incompletion.
Yeah. And, you know, the other thing that I find impressive is, or key when that is impressive, is when guys have not only speed, but leaping ability to high point, maybe not in a contested catch situation, but in a way that they can step into the catch zone and steal those balls away. And all of these guys have a 38 plus vertical with Darnell Savage being at 39 and Thornhill at 44.
Good Lord. 44.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. It's
man, that's like Chris Conley vertical.
Exactly.
Range, isn't it?
Man. Yeah. I mean, you could see him making some really spectacular plays on passes you think are going to be completed because he has a speed to get there and the leaping ability to step in front.
And that's a big deal. And I think if you're talking someone to jump in and play that deep safety role, that, man, sign me up for that. And so I just haven't had a chance to watch much of Thornhill. I've heard a lot of people say a lot of good things about him, though. And for me, the Chiefs, I really don't have a problem with them with the route that it looks like they're going, where they might really try to imitate the New England approach and generate pressure up front more through scheme around Chris Jones. If they want to really focus on their secondary, I've got no problem with that whatsoever. And safety would be a great place to start.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's a lot to be done back there. And there's a couple of guys that I find really intriguing because of versatility in that way. So let's take our second break and we'll talk about those guys in a second. We want to say thank you for all of your support through this entire season and want to let you know we will be here all off season for you. This and every episode that we'll be bringing to you are going to be available every week, just like normal, all off season long. So thanks for taking the time. All of you new folks, thanks for leaving your iTunes reviews and everything else. We appreciate your time and keep it locked on, Chiefs. Okay, so I like where you're going. If you're going to just have this power rush that isn't going to be spectacular, and it's not going to be bendy, and you're just going to rely on guys crushing the pocket, okay, I can live with that. But you got to be able to take the ball away on the back end. And one thing that you mentioned, taking the ball away from free safety is one thing. Letting Matthew Hunt is another. But there are degrees in between as well, because Matthew can play free if you want. And I like the idea of being able to move a couple of guys around. And there are dudes like Savage who can play some nickel corner as well. And I think they're highlighted by Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, who's out of Florida. And if you haven't seen him yet, maybe put him on your list. He's another smaller guy, a little thicker. He's 5'10", 3/4", but 210.
Oh, okay.
Runs a 4.48. He's got good speed. He's got good leaping ability. But he can play nickel as well as free safety. And I think that gives them a degree of versatility on the field if they were to pick him up, likely in the second round, that they could maybe move guys around in a way that's not so predictable.
And I like that. I like that ability. I'm not sure where that fits in with the Chiefs because they're so set at nickel corner. You know, like, do you have him play nickel against tight end, which is, you know, where you often see safeties go? And then do you really need a guy who's so skilled as a nickel corner type? Because tight ends, you know, they have kind of a different skill set is required in covering them. And and so I just, for me, I can't see the Chiefs very often when they need someone in nickel doing any, using anyone but Kendall Fuller there. As much as I like the idea of moving safeties around and erasing some of the predictability, I don't know. What do you think of that?
Well, you see, I'm thinking mostly in the spread when it's four wide receiver sets and you might need two nickels, you know, and then you can walk him down from free, let Matthew play the back end, because, you know, Matthew's good and he can play nickel corner as well. But now you have three or four guys who can go inside and play a slot who's probably quicker and shiftier, and you're not putting yourself at a disadvantage.
And that makes sense. And it also allows you to prevent yourself from being taken advantage of personnel wise and schematically. When you've got multiple guys that can shift around, because way more football than we think is just about generating schematic and personnel mismatches.
Yeah.
And if you've got versatile guys, you can prevent that. I think one reason people are skeptical on versatile players, and I talked about this when I reviewed Matthew's film, is that there are a lot of players who are touted as very versatile, but it's mostly they're just not really good at anything. And then you've got guys who, like, the example I always use until now with Matthew was Hussein Abdullah, who was good at everything, like legitimately good at everything. You could put him anywhere.
Yep.
And he'd perform well. And we saw what a huge advantage that was to the scheme. You know, when you got a guy who could play free safety, strong safety, linebacker, nickel corner, That was extremely helpful. And so I could be, well, I don't think I just could be. I think I was just talked into it in terms of guys like that. I tend to fall, I tend to fall in love with pure free safeties just because I just love guys with superior range. And I love the idea
with the defense.
Right. I love what the Seahawks were able to do for years with just your basic cover three, but they could press at the line because Earl Thomas could patrol 2/3 of the field.
Yeah. And that's an advantage that is, I think, in short supply these days in general in the league.
Yeah.
But there's these guys might be the option. But I have one more wrinkle to throw at you because a little bit of news, not news, but rumblings came out while you were in Florida. And one from Dane Brugler, who I trust, about hearing the idea that the Chiefs are looking to play more zone in general. Mm-hmm. And if that's the fact, then I don't know that a classic freeze, what they're looking for, versatility might come into it. But there's at least one player that I really like his film, and I've watched a lot of it because I get games live where I live. But
right.
What's your take on the horrendous testing, even though I think there's an injury involved there? If they're going to play more zone, do you have a problem with letting Matthew play deeper and taking like more of a strong safety guy like Taylor Rapp?
That doesn't bother me. No.
Okay.
That was one thing. That was maybe the first thing that jumped out to me on Matthew's tape. With his reputation, I expected to be viewing a guy who hardly ever lined up as a deep safety. Mm-hmm. And he did it all the time.
Yeah.
And he looks very comfortable doing it. He's very fast. He's got very good instinct. He moves his feet and his hips very well with the quarterback. And so I don't have any problem with that whatsoever.
What's your general take on moving to more of a zone scheme?
You know, what I've always heard is that, you know, in the NFL, you got to be able to play man mm-hmm. at a certain point. However, I mean, they played it more man than almost anyone else in the league last year, and it just didn't work. I think unless you go three or four deep at corner and you're very talented at all three, I think you're asking for trouble. I think you need to, you need to be able to play good zone. And I do think one thing I found is a lot of really good defenses, they run zone very well. And yep. It's a great way to mess with a great quarterback like Mahomes. That's what teams primarily did against him that caused him trouble, is they'd run these cover zero looks and then they'd drop guys into shallow zones and try to patrol the deep zones well and just have guys blanketed for the first 3 seconds or so.
Yeah. And that's what it is. It's the initial, you know, the 2.5 second throw window that you got to have it taken care of. Or like you said, have the quarterback scared about the fact you can get to the ball before the receiver. And that's absolutely what I think the zone does for you. And I don't think these rumblings mean they're going to a zone first philosophy, but I do expect them to play a little bit more. And I think that opens up some of their options in the draft.
I absolutely agree. And so there are really a lot of directions they can go with safety, and depending on, especially if they're playing more zone, that kind of stuff. Armani Watts is a guy that I wouldn't sleep on making some noise. I love Armani Watts. And mm-hmm. so, but they may want three safeties, and I don't know. I mean, clearly they didn't view Murray as the guy. I don't know if they view Sorensen as the guy or Lucas as the guy. But maybe Watts is a guy that they view as like a third safety type. Maybe. And so they still go after someone in the draft. I do think it's a much stronger safety draft than corner draft.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of why for me, I don't like reaching for need in the draft. I don't think it hardly ever works out.
No.
And so to me, you take the stronger players and then you figure out how to use them.
Yeah, and that's fair. And luckily there's enough holes on this defense where you don't have to pigeonhole yourself at one position.
That's quite true. You could throw someone almost anywhere.
See how I made something really bad sound decent?
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. Now I'm like looking forward to it.
we're deep in it today, folks. Well, we'll wrap it up there. We'll be back tomorrow. Seth, you're going to do mailbag. And we'll be back next week, folks, looking more at the positions and what the draft class has to offer. So, Seth, welcome back. I'm glad you're home.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. I'm excited.
And, folks, enjoy your weekend because I won't talk to you, but Seth will. And we'll talk to you next week.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.